can do it. I'm anointed for this, graced for it. So if you've got your Bible, you turn with me to that would be Romans. That's a long way from Matthew. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. We're going to start there. Hi, Caitlin. The Bible, I remember years ago, Paul Crouch. How many of you remember who Paul Crouch was? He was so excited because they were putting satellites in the air, and they were getting the gospel around the world. And he was pressing to get that done with the statement that the Bible says when the gospel is preached around the world, then the end would come, right? And we get all excited about that. That's wrong. That's not what the Bible said. And I'm not saying he was wrong or said something horrible. We go from glory to glory, revelation to revelation. What Jesus said was, when the gospel of this kingdom is preached or throughout the world, then the end comes. When this gospel of the kingdom, there's a big difference between the gospel and the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel gets you saved. And most of our churches have got salvation down. And then everything else is about building a building, doing different things, and growing a church, having a church, and growing a church. And then the church, as collectively, we set up programs and we bring in somebody who's an evangelist. We bring in somebody who might be just a little bit like a prophet. We bring in somebody who is who's a missionary, all right? And we get those four ministry gifts in operation, and then we get the church to donate to the mission field, donate to the evangelist, donate to the prophet or whatever. And if they don't call them that, they're in those offices. You'll see them in different offices, and they're supporting that, okay? That when you see the church, different organizations, they give money back to the organization to have that name, right? And all of us have been a part of that in some way. And what that, and we've complained about it. Got to give so much of our money back to the organization, you know. Well, that organization is a covering, okay? But it's still, and what it does is gets the church unengaged. It disengages the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about you and me. We get disengaged. Well, we give money to the poor. We give money to Christmas, you know, giftings and charity. We give money to the missionary field. We give money back to the organization that does so many wonderful things for us. We give it all back to them, and they take care of it for us. And all we have to do is just struggle within ourselves here in this little congregation, fight with each other, complain about each other, no spiritual growth, no coming to anything. We've disengaged them by doing it for them. That is not the kingdom of God. That's still the gospel of just being saved. Born again. Let somebody else take care of it. And we grow up and grow old, and we're still babies in Christ. And we think we've done something. Oh, I've given to this all my life. No, you just sent a check. Did you help getting something done? Yeah, but you never got engaged. It's real easy. Take a look at your phone list. What's it full of? People you have a relationship with or doctors? Come on. Business affiliates. Who are you making a difference with? Where are you letting your light shine? Now, this is not for you to run out there and do something, okay? Because this happens within the heart first. If it's not happening, then there's something going on in your heart and you've not reached the gospel of the kingdom yet. You're still, I'll say it this way, and a lot of Christians are here. They know a lot. You get underneath somebody who knows a lot and you're going to know a lot. But just because you heard doesn't mean you heard. Because the Bible, when it talks about hearing, it's trying to explain to you how you hear. It's not just you heard, but how do you hear? I can tell you how I hear. When I first got a hold of this message, oh man, I wanted to change, but at the same time wanting to change, I wanted to show people how much I knew. Because I knew more than the average Christian. And we get to knowing more than just the average Christian, we think we know something. But until it changes my life, I don't know anything. I just have a philosophy. I just have an idea. I just have a good thought. Those are good thoughts. There's a place to begin somewhere. But if you're 20, 30 years down the road, and this thing hasn't changed you, but you just know more than everybody else, and you think you're something because you know you have answers and what have you. Understand, the words I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Isn't that what Jesus said? The words I say are spirit and life. So it's living, and it produces life in others. Now, here's the sad part. I'm just going to pastoring about 12,000 people, got up in front of us and said, get out of your mind that everybody in your church is going to mature to this level of thinking. Get it out of your mind, because they're not. Wow. Did you just hear me, what I said to you? Some of you are not. Why is that? Nobody has an answer. Nobody has an answer as to why not. It has to do with a hunger inside the individual that is large enough that they're willing to lay down any and everything else to have that. Remember, Jesus gave a parable about this. Somebody found a precious stone inside of a field, covered that back up, didn't want to tell anybody about it, went, found out what the cost of the field was, and sold everything they had to purchase that field. Can I tell you what's going to happen to you? If they still know you as you were, you haven't purchased a field yet. If you're still acting the way you used to, you haven't purchased a field yet. You're not going to be who you were any longer. You're gonna lose who you are and pick up who he is in you. Wow. Wow. If you go to a class reunion and one of the first things they say to you isn't, wow, you have changed. If that's not what they're saying, if you're still the same old, the gospel hasn't done anything. It hasn't produced it. Right? You sell out what you have for this. And I don't, you know, there's just going to be people that just don't do that. That's a personal decision that you have to make. And nobody can make that for you. Okay? But I can tell you, when operating in the kingdom, it puts you in the position where your words are extremely powerful. Your relationship is amazingly close. And you're keen to his voice. And you're willing to, I mean, when we lost the business in August, and then right after the business in August left, half of our income was just gone. And then we had an option to get into another business. And it was a God thing. I mean, we could just see God all over it. A guy came through town, came through 57, comes through here once a year. We were at our stop out here at Road Ranger on the wrong day, at the wrong time. We're usually there in the morning first thing on a Tuesday. We were there on a Wednesday in the afternoon. This guy does not even have this as a stop. It's not one of his customers. And out just, and he said, we were driving down the highway. He said, just pull over here, son. I want to look at that place. And we're there delivering. And put us together and ended up signing us up into a business, selling their product for them. Went to one of the greatest institutions I have, and they said, we don't know you can keep up. Wow. And I make more money off this product than I do anything I've ever sold. Okay? And then all of a sudden, I lose that stop. It's gone. It gets lost in paperwork. It's the federal government. I've got to file new paperwork. It's just getting tossed and tumbled from Washington all the way to Illinois and back to Washington, okay? And it's just going all over the place. So I cease and desist there for almost 3 months. Already lost half my business. Now I've lost another, okay? In the middle of all that, I get to pastor people. And at one point in time, I told Pat, I said, here's how we're going to pray. Because I don't know what to believe right now. I don't know where to go. If I knew exactly where to go, then that's what I would speak. But since I don't, I just went before him once again and laid everything out that he... I mean, this one thing is so altering for our finances. It will be amazing once it takes off. And I laid that out all on the table. I said, Father, I will sell that church. I will pay off all its bills and donate the money to somebody. I'll leave the route. I'll sell my home. And I'll sell my favorite pickup truck I've ever owned. I will sell that. Pat and I will be debt-free, and I will go wherever you want me to go, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. If it's going to the mission field, if it's going to serve under another pastor, whatever you want me to do, I will do. Just speak to me and show me where I should be speaking. Remember the prophet said, get up in your watchtower and tell me which way to turn. And I will view that direction, and I will go that direction, and I will speak that direction. There are times in your life you've got to set it all down on the table and say, whatever it is that you want, just show me, and I will go in that direction. A few days later, everything started coming together for the church. Answers started coming together for those things, and answers started coming in from the route. I don't think I'd still have those answers right now had I not laid it out on the table. See, it's not a thing that you get a whim in your head of your dream and start speaking that. And there's a lot of people who've never come into the kingdom. They're just they just come into the salvation, and they're trying to speak. And they're trying to say, and they're trying to get, and they're trying to get God to move, and they can't get it done. They can't understand why the Word of God really isn't working, so I'm going to help. Can I tell all you grandparents something right now? All of you watched Pat and I how we dealt with Michelle. Is Michelle here? I wish she was. All of you got to see how we dealt with that. We stood on the Word, and we kept our mouth shut. Did you hear that last word? We kept our mouth shut. Oh, we went and cried on some shoulders, but after we got done crying, because weeping comes for a moment. The Bible says weeping comes, but it doesn't endure. It only endures to the daylight. That's why he says in the Word, weep with those who weep and laugh with those who laugh. Because there's going to be some laughing and there's going to be some weeping. And there's nothing wrong with going to people who you're close with and cry on their shoulder and do all your complaining. And they can. Now, when you come to me like that, I'm going to listen to your situation and you're crying on my shoulder and I'm going to go right with you. That's right. That ain't right. That's wrong. It shouldn't be that way. It's okay to get that all out of you. Get that all that sludge of language out of you right now. That's what weeping does. And then when you're done, you get up, dust yourself off, and you find out where you're going with this. What's the promises of God? What does he say about this? And then you stand on it, and you stand on it till you get it. Because here's the sad part. You're not raising kids anymore, Grandma and Grandpa. Did you hear me? You are not raising kids anymore. You can't get in the middle of it. And boy, you want to. Ooh, you want to jump right in and have something to say. Right? They're raising children in a different time, in a different era, and they've got to stand up and be the parents themselves. And you can't do it. You can't do it. Now, if they're thrown on your shoulders, or if you're in a situation where there's no help, you can help. But I'm saying when it comes down to you start doing something with that child and that parent doesn't like it, you're going to get to hear about it. Amen? And it's at that point you don't have an argument because it's not your kid. It's theirs. You know what you have? See, you got to lay it all down. You got to lay it all down, and you got to get into the kingdom. But you can't get in the kingdom. The kingdom, when he's talking about it, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for you to get into the kingdom of God. He's not talking about your salvation. He's talking about operating in the kingdom of God. Everything you have and everything you are goes behind the wall and left back there. You come in naked, and he clothes you. He gives you a word to speak. He puts a dream inside of you. When I'm looking at this building, and you all are going to get to see it here very soon, what we're dreaming out here, part of it, phase one, you're going to think I'm crazy. And it's okay. It's not your dream. But you get to be a part of it. Amen? And God's going to provide. It's coming. I'm already standing in something I shouldn't be owning. Come on. I mean, I'm standing on property I shouldn't be owning. You know what I spend my time doing? This is the difference between somebody saved and somebody operating in the kingdom. I spend my time being thankful for what I have rather than complaining what I don't have. I hear people say, we don't have a children's church. We don't have a nursery. We don't have this. We need a pianist. We need this. We need that. And we need all this other stuff. Really? 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago, I was in a rundown building, a shack of a place, leaking everywhere. And what I didn't know was the government of the community was changing. And when it changed, if I stayed there, I was going to have to put sprinkler system in, all new wiring, plumbing, new bathrooms. That whole place was going to have close to $250,000 to $500,000 worth of renovation. Or they would have shut us down. And I wouldn't have had anything to sell. The building wouldn't have been worth a dime. When we sold it, when that person came in and made the offer on that building, and I made them go look at it again, check it over again before, and they got mad at me and said, "We want the building now, and we want you out." If some of you were with us at that time, you remember they ran us out of there. We found out it was a commercial building, and they didn't have to give us any time, and we had trucks and vans and everything there trying to unload, get it out of that building, get it out of there, because she wanted us out. Right after that deal was signed, within a month or two, the regime changed and all the city codes changed. That's why God said, sell it now. I'm thankful every day, even when there's a leak in the roof, even whenever something goes wrong out here, power or whatever, I'm thankful every day because I live here and not up there anymore. I'm thankful that God got us in this building cheaper than what it would have cost for us to get that one in a position where we could use it. I'm thankful every day that he rescued me, that his hand is still on the ministry. And I'm just you can't get me to complain about not having something. I'm going to focus on what we do have. Do you know what focusing on what we do have? That's called being thankful. You know what Thanksgiving gives? More. Every time you find in the Bible where somebody stops and gives thanksgiving, more comes. Every time the complaining starts, less. It's starting to be taken away from you. It's very important to stay inside of a thanksgiving attitude and mindset, that look at what the Lord has done. You know? Amen. It's just so important for us to walk like that. That's the difference between walking in the kingdom and just being saved. When you're just saved, you get jealous. You know what Isaiah said? He said, "I'm going to make them jealous." Be careful with jealousy. Jealousy brings envy. Envy brings strife. And before you know it, you've opened up the door to everything, every evil work. And the next thing you know, you're going to harm someone. And so what we don't want to do is look at what somebody else is doing and get jealous of what they're doing, try to do it here. There's a reason why you're here. Wherever you came from, what they were doing obviously wasn't enough for you. So we're not going to come here and do what they're doing. We're going to come here and do what God tells us to do. Right? Because obviously that's already in the community. I'm not saying that, you know, you can't double it, triple it, quadruple it. But I'm going to stay thankful for what God's done. I'm going to stay thankful. I remember whenever I was sitting looking at pastoring 20 people. I remember that. 15 people. Got down to 15 people I was pastoring. And wondering how the bills were going to get paid. Wondering how we're going to get from month to month. Week to week. And so I'm thankful that, you know, I come out here and some outside lights aren't working. Is that a little frustration? Sure. But I'm still thankful. I don't care. You're not going to get me all upset over that, over a light bulb. I'm telling you. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to get me upset in a run on a carpet. You're not going to get me upset over a, 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 I, look at where God has brought me. Look at where he's brought us. I'm just going to praise him and receive more. Amen? So see, it comes down to how we hear. We can take a need and we don't have to vocalize the need to the visitor. We can vocalize the praise to the visitor and vocalize the need to the Father. Amen? Is that visitor going to meet your need? No. But is God going to meet your need? Absolutely. And it all comes down to how we're hearing. How we're hearing. Here's how I hear. I look at that, and I have to now understand, it's something I have to work on every time I pick up this Bible. I fight it every single time. So when you fight it, don't feel like that you're the lone wolf and there's something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. This is the fight. You read this Bible, and while you're reading it, you're thinking about how this will help somebody else. How if so-and-so would get a hold of this. How would this, as a preacher, you're thinking how this will preach. There's all kinds of those thoughts. If my kids would just line up to this right here, you know. And some of you parents, some of you kids, you're going, if my parents would just line up to this right here, you know, right? But here's the thing. I have to stop all those thoughts and say, Father, today I want my mind transformed to your thoughts. This is not for everybody else. This is for me. This is my relationship with you. Now I have to consciously do that because my mind goes to running. On what this could be for, who this could be for, how good this would work with who or what or whatever. No. I've got to grab back a hold of this. He said, watch this, and we're going to close. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek. The same Lord is rich over all unto all that call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who shall believe our report? Remember, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord was revealed to those that believe the report. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay, we're talking about the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith, the way to have it, the only way to receive it, is you've got to set aside the faith you have in everything else. I have a banker right now, and he loves us. I mean, he's a good Christian man, and the expansion we're wanting to make, he let me know this last week. I had to call him and converse with him because the bank has to release the property for this out here. And I had to communicate with him because it's out there on the news now. We're getting ready to have a mess out here. And our front road and everything's going to be a mess for a few years. So you need to wrap your head around that. It's going to be a few years. It's going to be a mess out here. Okay? The lawn mowing won't be the same. Getting on the property may not be the same. You know, it's just going to be a mess. And in the process of that, I was talking to him about what we were wanting to do to get bathrooms in the building. And he said, "Dean, whatever you need to do, I can come up with about 4 different plans for you, and we'll get bathrooms in there. All you got to do is just say when. If you want to come up and discuss it right now, we can discuss it right now, release the funds." We're in that wonderful of a shape out here. We don't owe a lot. And our payments are good, and our the strength of our accounts look good. But I don't depend on him. I used to. The banker said I could do it, then I could do it. But then I found out I could only do what the banker said I could do. And there'll come a point in time when the banker says, "Okay, you can't do anymore. You're done. Till you work hard, pay that off, then you can do again." God does not put those limits on me. So I'm not going to get myself caught up in what the banker says I can do. I'm going to get caught up in what does God say I can do. Amen. And God is a planner. So when I get ready here in the next few weeks, you're going to see what we're talking about. When that happens, you all need to wrap your head around that this is vision that I really believe God's giving me for this piece of property. When we first got out here, Craig Smith told me, he says, "You need to start." Remember Rick, he was sitting there telling us, said, "You need to start planning on where your building's going to be, what you're going to do out here with this property." God didn't give you property just to have property. But I didn't have a vision at that time of the next move. I had to pray about it, drive around this property, mow it every week, and get accustomed to this property so I could know what God, what are we going to do? And so now, hearing from him and feeling like I've got some direction from him, here's the key of knowing it's from him. You can't do it. And that looks ridiculous. That's insane. Why would you even think about why? When we see it and we can do it, then all the whys are gone. Because we're working with our reasoning, and now we've reasoned it out. God is always planning ahead of time for what he's going to do in the future. You see? So we have to look to him as, what is he wanting to do here? What is he wanting to do, and where do I come to be a part of that? And let's get excited about what God's going to do and what God is doing and what God will be doing. And then all of our needs are going to be met according to his riches in glory. I know right now we could use a pianist, but I'm not believing for a pianist. I'm believing for 4 or 5 pianists. I need 4 or 5 drummers, because when the time comes that I open up a Bible school, I want worship up here before every service. And a bunch of you are going to be working or have something else to do, and you're not going to want to come up here and practice 2 or 3 times a week, and you're not going to want to be up here and doing this on an off night. You're not. So what am I going to do for music? What am I going to do for a sound man? I've got to have more. And when you're able to set it all aside, God will increase you, and you won't be jealous of another person coming along and working in those arenas, because you know God's doing something greater than you. Amen? Amen. I'm believing right now, and I've got about 3 or 4 men right now that can teach in the Bible school. They're ready to take the time out to do it. And I'm excited about that. It's coming. So all I have to say today is really just be careful how you hear. Be cautious how you hear. Let it speak to you first. And let it begin to change you first. Paul said, "Lay aside every weight that would so easily beset you." from coming into this kingdom, lay it aside so that you may run. Amen? Right. Amen. Is that all right? All right. Father, we thank you.